Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I hope to open the conversation about working parents a bit. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier, to find out how they balance being a dad with a successful career. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
World, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. There was no episode last week, to be totally honest. I had just gotten off a shoot and I was tired and I just didn't want to do it. but we're back. We're back in business over here. And I'm very excited for some upcoming episodes and upcoming guests. And yeah, thanks for coming back with me and tuning back in. Quick little update before I get into this episode. I am running for the SAG-AFTRA LA local board and for convention delegate right now during this election. I'm very excited, and I'm also running with the Membership First slate, and it's great. I'm really stoked to see what Matthew Modine and Jolie Fisher can do running our union. I think they are fantastic candidates. And I'm just excited to get my feet wet in this area of our world, our business. You know, I've been an actor for forever, as long as I can remember. And I never really paid much attention to the union. I feel like a lot of the times we kind of just think of SAG-AFTRA as what we need to be a part of so that we can continually work. But there's a lot of stuff that that goes on within the union, obviously. And I really started paying attention to it within the last couple years. And last year when the health plan went to, for better words, shit, I got pretty angry at the fact that 8,200 seniors lost their health insurance during a pandemic. Was not stoked on that. And then, you know, this influencer contract that came out earlier this year, I got pretty upset about too. So I thought, well, why don't I get involved? Instead of sitting here and complaining about it, why don't I try to help the cause? So, hey, that's what I'm doing now, and I'm really stoked, and ballots are out, or they're going out. I got mine the other day. I filled it out the first thing that I got it, and yeah, it's really exciting. If you want to learn more about the election, head on over to my website, which is jillianclare.com. I have my statement there, as well as links to the Membership First platform and what we're running on, including some really important issues that I think need to be addressed immediately, including, you know, self-tape guidelines. I don't know about you, but I really am not made to be a gaffer and an audio engineer and everything else with these self-tapes, and some of them have gotten pretty out of control lately. So self-tape guidelines, they also are backing making our own free casting platform, which is crazy to me that we don't have that all of our stuff is run through for-profit organizations like Actors Access and Casting Networks and Casting Frontier. So that would be pretty great. And a bunch of other things, streaming residuals, which definitely needs to be addressed. I don't know about you, but my residuals have gone down since the beginning of Netflix and all of that stuff, because we just don't have the right contracts. We don't have the right people fighting for us in those rooms. So again, if you want to learn more about this, go to my website. You can also go to the Membership First website to read all about that. And if you have questions and you're, you know, confused about some things, go ahead and reach out to me on my Instagram or my Twitter. I will respond to you and answer to my best ability. I am still a sponge learning everything that I can. I'm constantly talking to people who have been a part of the union and learning everything that I can possibly learn about all of this, because I'm new to this, obviously. I may have been in the union for 21 years, but I'm new to this side of it, and I have just been soaking up all the information that I possibly can. So again, if I can't answer it, I will reach out to somebody and I will get the answer for you. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk, and now we are going to get to the show, and I'm really excited about our guest this week. It's Warren Egypt Franklin. You know him as Dez on Grown-ish, which is a great show. Love that show. And he's also Lafayette / Jefferson in one of the Hamilton tours. He's currently rehearsing to get back out there and get back on the stage, and we actually talked right after he finished rehearsal. He raced home and got on a call with me. So I was really excited to talk to Warren. He is a very talented person, and I think he's going to do some great, great things. So here's my conversation with Warren Egypt Franklin. Welcome to the show, Warren.
Hey, it's so good to be here.
It's so lovely to meet you. You are in one of my favorite shows ever, which is Hamilton. Which is so cool. That's got to be like the coolest thing in the world.
It is. I still can't believe it. Actually, what's crazy is today you're interviewing me, and today, 2 years ago, was my debut in Hamilton. So my first show was today, 2 years ago, August 6, 2019. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is pretty cool. I feel pretty special now that this is happening on this day.
I just thought about it because I just left rehearsal. So I just like, you know, the memories that pop up or whatever, and it showed me, I was like, oh, yo, that's sweet. So yeah, it just happened. It's been 2 years already, but you know, with the pandemic and everything, that kind of put some time into that. But yeah, it's crazy. Time has really flown by.
So were you doing the show when the pandemic hit? Did you guys have to shut down and then figure it out later?
Yeah, which was really crazy for us, because our tour was the first tour to, We're an American tour, but our tour was the first tour to tour through Canada. So we were actually in Toronto at the time. We were the first tour to ever be in Canada. And they love Hamilton there because, you know, the fans are just as crazy in Canada too. We were there and we started noticing NBA games were stopping and all of these things were stopping, and the cast of Hamilton Broadway was down, then like the San Francisco cast and like all these casts. And we were the last cast standing for like, I want to say 4 or 5 more days after everything else had closed. And then we started seeing audience members with their mask on, and we were like, yo, this is wild. Every day was like, we might be next. Oh, we didn't get the call yet. Okay. We're performing again. And then, then that one day it happened, and I was stuck in another country for a little bit. Yeah.
Really? You got stuck in Canada?
Yeah, because we didn't know the severity of the virus yet. So to take all your belongings on tour to then travel the border, it's like hard to get back in because of like, you know, work things, and there was a shutdown. So you couldn't get out at one point. And if you did, the borders had closed indefinitely. So then you would be stuck. Wow. It took a lot for me to leave Canada. It definitely was a lot, but yeah.
That's things were wild. Crazy. Mm-hmm. But you are back in rehearsal now, which is super exciting. And when do you open?
We're rehearsing in Atlanta right now, and I want to say our first show is August 21st.
Hey.
No, it's around the corner. It's in like 2 weeks, so I'm excited.
It's very exciting. And I know that in between this, you've gone and done some TV stuff, which I definitely want to talk about in a little bit. But there's nothing like the feeling of being back on a stage.
Absolutely.
And it's just, it's a completely different experience for actors.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be magical for you that opening night being back on that stage.
It's going to be so magical. We're already anticipating it. I hear from all of my friends who have played Atlanta before. They're like, yo, the Atlanta audiences are crazy. They're wild. They're the best. So I'm excited. I know my cast is ready to rock it. I hear the Atlanta fans are ready. So I'm ready to get out there and get in front of the audience, you know?
Of course. And you play Lafayette and Jefferson. And what I've always wanted to know is which one do you like playing more? Because I'm sure you get asked this all the time.
Question, yeah, that's the question I get asked the most. I think that's the most amazing thing about playing that role is some days, you know, I get to be Hamilton's best friend and I get to bring this joy, this swagger, this energy to the show. And then some days I get to be his worst nightmare. You know what I mean? And that's also pretty cool to be able to do that. So sometimes I honestly can say I have fun with both of them. And some days Lafayette is in my bones a little better than Jefferson and vice versa.
Yeah.
But I will say Jefferson has the most fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That opening number of Act Two is just like Jefferson's like little play time. I mean, yeah. It's just so fun.
It's so much fun. I love doing What Did I Miss? It's so, so fun.
Wow. Do you have a favorite line from the show from either of your characters?
I have a favorite line. I mean, obviously with everything going on in our country, and I mean, especially when you really think about it, this land was never ours. You know what I mean? In the sense, mm-hmm. So immigrants, we get the job done, really does hold a dear place in my heart. And then one that I don't say that I love is when Burr says, I am inimitable, I am an original. That is just the most beautiful line and one of the best lines in all of music theater next to Sondheim, you know? So yeah, those are probably my favorite lines from the show.
Yeah, the immigrants, we get the job done line. I remember I saw the Aunt Peggy tour at Pantages.
Okay.
And the entire audience just broke out in cheers. Mm. And I thought that was so cool that one line elicited such a massive response from everyone in the theater.
Yeah, every night that's usually one of the ones that they get a huge response, you know, because it transcends to so many people, you know what I mean? So that's the beautiful part about being in the show.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how you got started in this wild industry. Were you one of those children that ran around singing and dancing and acting as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So I started off singing in church like most people. And then, you know, the little church plays and skits that we would put on and do. And then I ended up going to elementary school and doing the same thing. And I was in the music program there. But I was a sports kid. So I played football for a long time. I played football for years. And I was kind of juggling the dream of, do I want to play football or do I want to do music and music theater full time? And I think once I got to high school, that's when the juggling stopped. And I was like, no, I'm going to transfer and go to an arts high school to really like get my craft to the fullest potential. And yeah, I did that. Then I went to college. I got my bachelor's in music and music theater, got that degree. And then I did Hamilton. I'm leaving a lot of stuff out. There's parts where I definitely
earned my stripes. Some
yeah, I definitely earned my stripes. And I think people are like, ooh, Hamilton. But before I did Hamilton, I did Shakespeare festivals where I got my equity card. And I did other musicals at other regional theaters that I think people don't really realize that there's more to theater than Broadway. Like Broadway is amazing. Broadway is the pinnacle. However, there's so many amazing regional theaters out there and off-Broadway shows and programs where people are working and doing things at a Broadway level and caliber that people don't even know that I think people should support more. And I think we as a community put so much into Broadway, and I'm so thankful. I love it. But there are other theater companies that are doing just as amazing work as it is on Broadway. You know, Hamilton wasn't on Broadway at first. It was off Broadway at the Public Theater. And a lot of people don't know about
yep.
that. It was a workshop before. So you have to grow from somewhere. And I'm so thankful in my theater career that I've gotten to do Shakespeare festivals and to do summer stocks and to do other regional theater that I think helped shape me into the actor that I am today. Yeah.
Well, and I think there's a certain type of person. If you can't do regional, I don't think that you'd make it in Broadway, because regional is, you know, it's a little more gritty. It's a little more down to earth.
Yeah.
Not saying it's awful. There's a ton of amazing regional theaters out there
Absolutely.
That are like stunning and perfect and great. But I think that regional theater is like so required, because it is a skill. And then
Absolutely.
Once you're there, it's kind of like, oh, I can do this.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with all of that. And I think regional theater, I did regional theater, but I did it in rep. I performed at the Idaho Shakespeare Festival in partnership with Great Lakes Theater Festival my senior year of college. So we did Mamma Mia and rep with Pride and Prejudice, and we did it. The run was all the way from June to November, and I was still a senior in college at the time. So I had to juggle being 3 months late to my senior year and getting off the stage and then doing a Spanish test and, like, you know, all of these nobody thought about, doing two shows and having 8 shows a week. And I think it taught me work ethic and drive, but it also taught me time management and when to conserve my energy or not. And I'm so grateful for that contract, because that really taught me how I'm like, if I can get my bachelor's in music and I was in rehearsals for another show and do 2 shows in school and still, I think what
you
was the
same
person, I can do anything, you know? So it definitely showed me I could do a lot.
That's amazing. I feel like this has been a PSA. If you live near a regional theater, please
Absolutely.
Go support them and see them when they are reopened.
Please do. Please do. Please donate to your local regional theaters. And even if you don't have a regional theater, donate to the community theaters. Audition for the community theaters, because it starts there and it just goes up and up and up and up. And I've said this a million times, but art is what got us through this pandemic. You know what I mean? So it means a lot. Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
You've never seen so many casts come together, except for during the pandemic. Everyone was like, we got to do reunions so that we can raise money. And I really did. I mean, if we didn't have Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and everything else, what would we have done for 9 months?
That part. Absolutely. Yeah. I told you, I'm like, yo, you say you don't mess with the arts, but the arts is what got you through the pandemic, son. Like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so you're in Toronto, you're stuck. Did you come back to LA when you could get back into the States, or did you go to New York, or where did you land?
I'm actually I'm born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And I never have time to go to Cleveland. So I went to Cleveland and I just hit out with my brother. But I think most people can identify with this. Being home sometimes is just not great. So I think for my mental health, it just wasn't great being back at home. And that's when I started rediscovering some of my like insecurities and things that I wanted. And that was, I know everyone has kind of had it in the pandemic. That was my phase of like, who are you? What are you without art? What are you without your job? You know, all these things and these questions that came into my mind. So I got a group of friends together that I really love. It was four of us all together. We went to Idaho. We got a beach house in Idaho. We all locked ourselves in, and every day we woke up, we didn't know what the plan would be. We would make art and videos and swim and go bike riding through the mountains. And some days we would just wake up and swim in the pool. Other days we would be like, let's do nothing but play Mario Party all day. Like, it helped to be around other creatives, but not think about what my next gig or my next job was, and to just be around my friends isolated in a place. And the reason we chose Idaho is because we had all worked there, but at the time it was lowest numbers of cases as well. So it was like this safe haven to be in this state that had the lowest number of cases. And I needed that. I really feel like that trip helped re-spark my kid-like energy of like, What do I want? Or I am good at this. I can sing. I can dance. I can act. I can. But most importantly, I'm a philanthropist before any of that. And I can bring something to the world through my art. And that's why I'm an artist, you know. And I think before that, we just all wanted the next shiny gig, or we all wanted to impress people and post things on Instagram that made us look so fly and so fresh. But it's not about that. It's about transparency. And I really don't think without that trip, I would be able to be as transparent as a person, which I think affects my work as an artist and an actor as well.
It totally does. And I think it's interesting that you brought up the whole like thinking about your next gig, because I feel like a lot of people outside of this industry don't really realize that it's like when you're working on one thing, you're constantly thinking about your next move, because it's like, how am I going to pay my rent next month? How am I going to do this? How am I going to keep my car if I don't book another role? What's the next move? What can I do?
Yeah. And I think for the first time, which was so great about Grownish, is that every time I stepped foot on that set, I was in the moment. And I was so grateful to be like, yo, you booked a big recurring role on a hit TV show in its fourth season during a global pandemic. Soak this up.
Yeah.
Don't think about the next episode. Don't even think about the next scene. Really work moment to moment. And I think that's why they ended up loving me, and I ended up loving the project. And it's really organic work that was the product, you know? So I'm really excited for audiences to see what we did there.
Yeah. So tell me about Grownish. How did that come about? Were you still in Idaho at this point, or had you left Idaho?
No, I'm going to tell you a crazy story, and I swear, I don't like to swear to God. My grandma would kill me, but I swear on everything I love, this is a true story. So,
okay.
It was my birthday. My birthday's in January, and I had very safely went to Miami for my birthday, very excluded from anybody else. We made sure we got a place that was on the beach, but not public with anyone else because it was during COVID. But I'm from Cleveland, so I'm from the East Coast. So I've never celebrated my birthday above 30 degrees.
Aww.
It's always been cold as, I don't know if I can curse on here, but cold
you
as
can curse.
Balls on my birthday. So I was like, you know what? The world seems like it's ending. If I'm going out and if I never get another birthday again, for my 24th birthday, I'm celebrating it in hot weather. I'm going to Miami. So we went, a group of my closest people, we went to Miami. And for my birthday wish, I sat on the beach and I prayed on my birthday. And I said, for 24, Lord, I really want to book a TV show and or a movie. Amen.
Stop it.
And so we have fun in Miami. It was great. Oh, by the way, also, you can ask my sister. By the way, I said, I would love to be on Grownish or Insecure. I would love that somehow. Amen. I get on the flight to go back home because at this time I'm staying in Atlanta. It's where I'm living. So I get on the flight to leave Miami to go back home to Atlanta. And as soon as my flight lands, there is the audition in my email for Grownish.
And stop I said, it.
No, that's real is real. That's what happened. So I was like, wow, this is insane. So I recorded it, record the self-tape, the audition. The creators and the casting team had a couple of notes for me, and they were like, we want to coach you on a Zoom coaching through this. And I was like, no. I told my agents, I was like, I don't want to be coached. Although I want to take the notes that they're giving me, I just want to show them that I can take notes the mm-hmm. first time, that I can work it. So give me whatever notes they gave me. And then after they see that, let's see what they say. And he was like, okay, cool, if you say so. So I did that. And then once I sent that off, they had immediately told me that I booked the part.
Wow.
Then I moved to LA and I've been, now I'm back in Atlanta with Hamilton. It's crazy how the universe is set up. But since then, I've been living in LA while I was filming the show, and I still have a home back in LA. But yeah, and we've been filming ever since. But that's kind of how booking Grownish had came to be. Yeah.
I mean, it's remarkable just in regular times to book a TV series.
Absolutely.
And then to book one during a pandemic is like, that's like next level shit.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to God. I'm grateful to everybody at Grownish that worked on that set. I'm talking from Yara Shahidi, who's the star of the show. Mm-hmm. I'm talking down to the janitorial team, who was just so nice and so giving. Mm-hmm. Everybody on set. I remember we wrapped our very first scene, and I was like, thank you guys so much. This means so much to me because this is my first scene I've ever shot for TV. And everybody was like, what? Like, you know, like... And but they were so gracious, so they made me feel so comfortable. You know, I didn't really, besides that very, very first take, I never really felt nervous or felt like I mm-hmm. couldn't play or be with this character. Because the character is very intricate. He has a lot of complexities. He's like me in a couple ways, but really mm-hmm. not like me. He's a character most away from me that I've ever played. So
wow.
I really wanted to make sure that I grounded him and that I brought some of myself to him to balance it out and to give as much truthfulness to the character that I could. But yeah, it's a crazy, crazy journey this season.
And that's some of the best roles to play is the ones that are so far away from you because it gives you so much to play with.
Yeah.
And so much to discover, and it keeps it interesting, and you're not just like falling into the same sort
habits.
Of cycle Knots, and habit yeah. and stuff.
But yeah, we're going through that script. I'm like, bro, why would you make this decision? Why this choice? How did you? But I love when that happens because then that's when you humble yourself when you're doing your script analysis to really be like, okay, like he did this because that, but also, what will Warren Egypt do to bring himself to do that? What is my feeling on that? How would I get to a place within myself where I would ever do something like that or do something similar? Or maybe I have done that, but just in like a completely different way that I didn't even connect to. And I think that's what makes my job not a job. And I think it's fun. I love the script, the text, the subtext, the script analysis of it, finding the objective.
It's like detective work. It's so fun.
I love it. I know that stresses some people out, but I love it. I really do.
And it's fun to be able to make those choices and actually have them stick too. Like when you get to set and you've made those choices and they're like, oh, I like that choice. And you're like, yes, I did it. I figured it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so well, on this show, we like to share bad audition stories. Do you have some that you would like to share with the audience?
Oh, I mean,
listeners.
Which one? I think, okay, this one is bad, but then it ends with a happy ending. So okay. I was in Final Callbacks in New York for, what was it? Oh, The Lion King for Simba. For the tour. So I went in for the team. And Simba sings a song called Endless Night. And I don't know how the top note is. It's like, another night is young. I forget how the song goes. But I know once I got to the top note, I cracked, y'all. And I cracked really badly. And I've never cracked an audition before. And if I have, it wasn't like on a money note. Like this was like on the money note, in front of casting, in front of the team. And I left out feeling so defeated. I felt so defeated and I walked out with my head down. I felt so bad. And like you saw the team behind the table when I hit the note kind of go like, ooh. And I was like, oh my God, I shouldn't have looked at that. Like it was truly embarrassing. So I get on the train. I'm like, well, I'm about to go get some ice cream. Cause I celebrate my defeats with ice cream and I celebrate my losses with ice cream as well. my wins. If I win something and I feel good, ice cream. If I do something bad, ice cream as well. But yeah, so I was going to the ice cream place, which was kind of by Wall Street. So I was underground. So I couldn't get any calls from my agent because I was underground. And then I saw my agent's number pop in my phone and I was like, damn, he's calling me to tell me like just how bad it was. Like I got a call from my agent after the audition. Like, this is terrible. I didn't really want to answer the phone. And so I want to say I didn't. And he sent me a text or a voicemail or something. It was like, call me back as soon as you get this. And I was like, damn, like I'll never be in Lion King. So I answered the phone. And then that's actually when he told me that Hamilton, he was like, I was like, oh, did Lion King tell you how bad the callback was? He was like, Lion King? He was like, who cares about Lion King? I'm not calling about Lion King. I'm calling to tell you that actually you got your callback for Hamilton and they want to see you on Monday. And I was like, fuck yeah. So like, it just never, it was pretty bad.
It
ended kind of happy. You know, and I tell people, what's for you is what's for you. As great as I think I could have been for Simba for that, that wasn't my project. That wasn't for me at that time, you know? And whoever that brother is who stepped into that role, that was him. That was his time, his project. And I'm super happy for whoever that person is. A win for another Black man is a win for me. But that just wasn't my project. And I tell people all the time, what's for you is what's for you.
That's exactly the attitude that you need to have as well in this industry is having that positivity. And like you said, celebrating your wins and your losses.
Absolutely.
Because even though that was a loss, like you still made connections with people. You still experienced something. And all of those experiences add up to the actor that you become.
Absolutely. Yep.
Wow. And then, so you got your Hamilton callback and then what happened? How many callbacks did you have to do for that?
I did like 3.
Okay.
Not even that.
Not too bad.
It went really fast. It all happened within 2 weeks. The normal Hamilton callback process is like, some people in my show, like literally currently in my show is like, I auditioned for Hamilton 16 to 20 times before I got like through.
What?
And all of my shit happened within like 2 weeks. It was really, really fast because they were looking for an immediate replacement for my role. So it happened within like 2 weeks. I did like my initial audition when I was still in college, before I even had an agent. Then I got the callback. That's when he told me I had the callback, I want to say. No, because I hadn't lived in New York yet. No, I found out I had my callback my graduation day. So this was like the second time I went in for them. Because it was like my initial audition, my regular callback when they had me do Burr and Lof Jeff. And then this is when he called me again to be like, they want you to come in to the Lof Jeff stuff. And then I had left. And then later that day, they were like, we want you to do a dance call. And I was like, a dance call? I hate dancing with people. Oh my God.
Please don't.
But actually, when I went in the room, I was the only person that was dancing. So it was just like, it literally, when I went to Telsey, it said, Warren, Egypt, Franklin, Hamilton, room like 3B. And I was like, that's weird. And then I went in there and the guy was like, yeah, basically, unless you have two left feet, there's no one else in here. You're the top choice. We're going to film this for the creators of the show. Mind you, now I'm like, oh my God, I can't mess up. He taught me everything in like 5 minutes. We filmed it and I was out. Yeah.
Wow.
They work very fast at Hamilton. No kidding. You learn to love it, but they, because it's a machine. There's so much going on in the show. So it's a machine, but I'm so thankful. Hamilton was like my grad school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. I mean, that show is wild. And the fact that so many of the leads are, you're basically playing, you know, it's double cast. You have two roles. You have all this stuff going on. To switch in the midst of the play to a completely different character is just so, it's awe-inspiring for you and for the people who are doing these roles and pulling it off, because that is some serious work and serious acting.
Yeah. Thank you.
So what's next for you after this? What else do you want to do? Do you want to continue doing film and TV? Do you want to stick more with theater? Where do you see your path going?
Absolutely. Yeah. I want to end up doing everything, you know, kind of like Viola and kind of like Denzel, but also like Beyonce, you know what I mean? I want to be a juggernaut in theater and make new works. And I'm so thankful for Hamilton, but after Hamilton, I think I would want to be in original Broadway shows, original Broadway cast, end up producing my own things as well. I have so many ideas that I want to do. I want to continue to do TV, hopefully speaking into existence, a series regular on a show. I would love to do that. Okay. I booked a film. I didn't get to do it because I came back to Hamilton, but I actually ended up booking the film, which is crazy because that was what my prayer is. So I want to end up.
Yeah, your second birthday prayer.
Uh-huh. And I got both of them.
Oh my gosh.
So I want to end up actually being able to do a film this go around. And and I'm working on some music and stuff. So I'm getting my EP together and finalizing my single and stuff. So getting into music. I want to be known for doing great work in whatever capacity that I do, and knowing that, you know, you hear, there's not every day you hear from Will Smith and Denzel and Beyonce and Jay-Z, but you know, when you do hear from them, it's a really good, and Frank Ocean, oh my goodness, one of my heroes, Frank Ocean.
Oh, so good.
You don't always hear from these people, but when you do, you know that they've been grinding to get this work done. And this wasn't some shit that they put together in a month. This is something that they've been working on for a really, really long time. So that's kind of, I want to be the guy who can, I hate to say do it all, but I'm able to do it all at a level of excellence. That's what I want to do. Never perfect, because I'll never be perfect, but a level of excellence, you know?
I think if you have that creative blood, that creative drive in you, I think it is possible to be a master in all. I think it's possible. I think it's there.
I think so too. So we'll see what happens and how long it takes. It's great. I'm at a great age right now where I'm old enough to get my feet into some of this stuff, but I'm also young enough to be able to fit into so many things. So I tell people I'm a 25. I'm a 24-year-old boy from Cleveland. So just to be able to do the things that I have done is just incredible. God is so good. So I'm just so thankful. I'm grateful. You can't see it, but I'm grateful.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It has been a pleasure talking to you. Where can people follow you on social media to see all the great things that you accomplish?
Yeah, I am only on Instagram. I'm a young man, but I'm an old man. So no TikTok, no Twitter for now. Maybe I'll dibble and dabble in it later. But for right now, you can just follow me on Instagram, which is my first name, at Warren Egypt.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited for you to be back on tour.
Thank you.
And I cannot wait to see all the great stuff that you make. I know that you're going to make a huge splash in this town and all the towns, and you're going to be fantastic.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you again to Warren for coming on the show and talking to me. It was such a pleasure to meet him and learn about his journey. And I can't wait to see what he does next. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to me ramble about things. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be back again next week with another one. Until then, you can follow us on social media. Those links are in the show notes. We post a cool little clip every Friday from these interviews where you can see us actually talking face to face and listening to each other and reacting to each other. So if that interests you, you can go to our Instagram. I also post it on my TikTok because I'm trying to TikTok. It's not going very well, but I'm doing it. I'm trying. I'm putting my best foot forward. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.